From the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there any among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, there is a scripture passage that has doors right in it. Knock, and the door shall be opened. There may be lots of ways that people around us are knocking and maybe we're just not hearing. And we can, through our time together this fall, listen a little more attentively and open the door to them, inviting them to come and join with us here to explore these doors that we'll be looking at through the fall. Last week was the door of praise. But exploring all these doors of God's grace, which opened God to us and us to God. Last week, with that door of praise, we looked at how the best way to spread Christian cheer, I riffed off the movie Elf, the best way to spread Christian cheer is to sing loud for all to hear. Aren't we all stirred deeply, not only when we are praising out with Kaylin and our praise team, aren't we all deeply touched, both with the songs that are introspective and the songs that are jubilant? They reach into our souls and say something. And there are times where I can hear myself standing in the front, that wherever you are on the journey, a song is reaching you and the voices suddenly become louder. I bet you Sandy hears it also singing in front of us. And at times in those quiet songs, how we all are retreating in our own way in prayer and get a little more introspective. But it's about cultivating an attitude of gratitude, singing praise to a God that never forgets us, even when we feel forgotten. The journey's with us, and guides us, and leads us, and wants to enter into the center of our lives. But for praise to reach its true potential, lives tuned to and attuned to God, it must reach far beyond the heights of Sunday morning and into Monday morning's reality. We don't often take our praise into Monday morning when the alarm rings out. How do we in thankfulness approach each day, each breath, with the wonder and awe that we are loved by God on Sunday and yes, even on Monday morning? Praise to begin the day and to end it, for all that can be and all that has been. But now we turn from our praise to our prayer and the door of prayer and what that door offers us, how we are taught about it, and how if we come and knock, it will be open to us. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord God, may the meditations of my heart and mind and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. May we hear your word afresh and may it inspire us anew. In Christ's name, amen. You're going to play complete the sentence for me, all right? These are familiar sayings, shouldn't be a problem. And these sayings come by a particular name. It's called prayer. I think you might have heard of it. And these are prayers that you know. Now, before I ask you to play along with me and complete the sentence, it's interesting that a recent statistic, as much as we think people are becoming less religious or less connected to religious communities, over 95% of our society believe in praying in some way, in some fashion. Which led me to ask, okay, well, what is prayer? If 95% of all people believe in some form of spiritual centering called prayer, then what is it? Even if they're not connected with a faith community where we have formalized it in different ways, what is it? Now, there's the rigid definition, a devout spiritual petition or spiritual communion with God or gods. I think we need to take up where I began, is I believe through prayer itself, we can put flesh on that skeleton of the simple definition of communion with God. So I'll start off and we'll work to finish these together. I know you can do this. Now I lay me down to sleep. If I should die before I wake. How about this one? God is great. God is good. Everybody's got a slight different tweak on it, but yes. That's one of those prayers, early prayers that many of us have learned around our tables as children because it's very simple and straightforward. This is one of my personal favorites. Let's see how many of you know this. God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed. Courage to change the things that should be changed. And the wisdom to know the difference. Oh, man, I can't pray that one enough. This one is a little tougher. Let's give it a try. Lord, make me an instrument. Oh, see, you're good at this. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. That's the prayer of St. Francis. There is more to it than that. It's a beautiful prayer as well. There's a singing one. Oh, the Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things we need, the sun and the rain and the apple seed. The Lord is good to me. Amen. Yes, you can tell the people who went to camp at a similar place. And of course, we all join together in the one that Jesus taught the disciples. And we teach that to our children as well. You know, the gospel reading we heard this morning, interestingly, is the only place where the disciples specifically ask to be taught. Jesus teaches all the time. But it comes up much more organically based on the circumstances. This is the only time where there is a direct ask. Can you please teach us about this? We have lots of others, God bless you, that come up that Jesus teaches on, but not that he's asked about. Things like, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But never a subject matter. And the subject is prayer. Jesus concludes by essentially telling the disciples in some ways to lighten up and to not get too worried about it. If you read sort of the conclusion after he says, when you pray, pray like this. And he says, you know, ask. It will be given to you. Knock. The door will be open. Would you guys not become so mired in the formula and just do it? Let your prayers pour out in love and affection and wants and needs, and God as heavenly parent will respond in delight. And to this day, the words that Jesus taught before sort of telling them to lighten up remain a central starting point on the subject of prayer for Christians, for us who gather. Sally put it so well in her prayer. When we can't find any other words, we go there. When we can't find our own words, we go there. And just as those first disciples, as contemporary followers of Jesus, we similarly reach out to God through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's guidance, and we ask to be taught. Even though we have those words, we still come and say, oh God, Jesus, please teach me how to pray as I ought to. Give me the words that I need. How many of us have been asked on some grand occasion to pray before a large meal? Or a wedding, and with trepidation we go, oh, man. Because somebody says, I know you go to church. Greg, I know you go to church and sing in the praise team. Could you pray before Thanksgiving? And Greg goes, oh, man. Maybe Phyllis should do it. I don't know. She's got better. Jordy should do it. He's got better words than I do. Oh, man. And it's because we get mired in this. What should I say? What's the right things to say? What shouldn't I say? How should I say it? How many more of us, when we are in the church, we come to a committee meeting or a church meeting or a circle gathering, and we're there with fellow believers who love us all the time, and yet still they say, Sandy, would you pray at this meeting? And you think, oh my gosh, I'm among other Christians. Why am I the one that has to do this? Or we as clergy and staff in the church, it's like we have all of the magic formula. And so if nobody else will pray, well, of course we will pray. And yet all of us struggle with our poor human words. How are we going to communicate God's love in Jesus Christ and the continued presence of the Holy Spirit? How many of us, when we go out in public, when we're eating at a restaurant, even take the time to return thanks? Hold hands around the table and say thank you for this. Afraid as we are of what we will say in some circumstances among family or in church, we're even more afraid of saying anything at all in other settings. And yet prayer is that central place, that central way that we turn toward God, where we open a door, and a door is opened to us. Prayer is where we give it over to God. And for us as Christians, it's supposed to be the very heartbeat of our faith lives to pray. We see in Jesus constantly a desire to do that, to center his life throughout his ministry in prayer. But we become so overcome with getting our words right, it stifles the words altogether. Perhaps that's the key to problems with prayer. We put our worries and our fears and our insecurities, we put ourselves at the center of prayer. We hear what Jesus says after, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find. And we think, hey, if I can just pray the right way for the right amount of time with the right words, then all of my desires, all that I want, all the things that are wrong in my life will be better. God's going to open a door. Jesus said it. But the beginning of prayer is reorientation. When Jesus said, now when you pray, pray like this. First word, Father. It is God we call upon at the beginning. God's glory, God's name, God's grace, God's love. Holy are you. Prayer is that means where we push back all of the selfish, sinful, sin-filled ways of living of our world, our words, and we try to realign ourselves with God's purposes in the world, with God's word. In prayer, we seek to add ourselves to God's movement for change. Our God in heaven, holy is your name. Let your kingdom come. We don't pray, let our kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Now, does this mean we abandon our petitions? Absolutely not. It becomes rather a matter of taking them up as part of God's movement. To speak specifically in the Lord's Prayer, to table prayers, prayers for bread, for daily bread, they are indeed a request for enough substance and nourishment to sustain our weary souls. It also hands those provisions, the substance, over to God to provide and to nourish us from. It's substance and sustenance that is more than bread that we are praying for. It's a taste of what is possible by God's grace. Give me a foretaste of the kingdom that is to come. Give me what I need to make the journey that lies ahead as I work towards that kingdom began in Christ and a present reality in the Holy Spirit. Give us, we say, day by day the bread that we need. Open day by day the door we need to find open. Through prayer, as God rests in us always, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we seek rest with God. And through prayer, we become part of God's salvation history, just as Abraham and Sarah, just as Moses and the Israelite people wandering in the wilderness who were provided manna from heaven, just as the prophets, just as Jesus and the disciples, just as all the saints of life. As they prayed, so we also pray. Give us day by day the bread that we need. Give us day by day the grace we need. Give us day by day the love we need. Give us the bread of the kingdom, tomorrow's bread, today. A taste of what's possible. Open the door a crack and let us see a little bit. Now, I know the skepticism out there. I know how dismissive people can be. Oh, the power of prayer, ha, ha, ha. That's just empty religious language, silly rituals. Those Christians, you go in there and you hear them just muttering out the Lord's Prayer. The kingdom seems so far away. So many die from not having anything to eat at all. Forgiveness seems to stand as the exception rather than the rule. The trials being endured by many are even too horrific to imagine, let alone print or publicize. But through prayer, we realign ourselves with God. Through prayer, we ask to be given today what we need to work, that this world, that this community, that this church, that we individually might be reflective of God's love and grace. In prayer, we show persistence. Persistence in asking and expecting that God will respond in a way above and beyond our expectations. It's in prayer we put God first and realign ourselves, our lives, our hands, our feet, our minds, our hearts with God. Begging for a crumb from the table, for a taste of what is possible. And letting God have access, opening the door to our own hands and feet to meet the needs, to respond to the injustice, to feed the hungry, to clothe the poor. To open the door to God. Center yourself in prayer. Be aligned with God's holy purpose in Christ Jesus by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Be public in practicing prayer. not as a show to others, but as a way to show others your centeredness in God, in word and deed. Be persistent in sticking with it. May that vision to lead us and guide us, to open us, to give to others what God has shared with us, to open to others what God has opened to us, be with us. Our God in heaven, holy is your name. Let your kingdom come. Give us what we need and a taste of what is possible. Forgive our shortcomings as we forgive the same in others. Protect us from the tests. Allow your vision to lead and guide. Allow the taste of tomorrow's bread to be what we work for today as we seek to make connections and offer opportunities in faith, in love, and in service. And we hear prayer in the voice of our youngest. Amen and amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, source of all that is and that shall be, when we tread a path to your door in praise and in prayer, we find by grace it open and welcome. When we make requests of you, even the most difficult, selfish, or presumptuous, you give according to the same grace and goodness. Though we are challenged to see and often only visualize a closed door or your absence and silence. And yet you are there all the time, whispering to us of the possibilities for us and for the world. Forgive us that we do not know how to pray as we ought, that we constantly rap upon the door of your grace with our requests and demands, twisting prayer to our desires and not allowing it to turn us toward you. Help us to see that prayer is a means of opening a door and of your door standing open to receive what lays heavy upon our hearts and minds and in our lives. We need and pray for a taste of possibility, of hope, of compassion, of justice, of belonging, of love. And so feed us, we pray, with the bread we need for today, a foretaste of the glory of tomorrow. And in the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From the trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. Teach us to offer ourselves in return to those who make requests of us, to be fair and just, persistent in prayers for others, alert to their needs, and constantly singing out in thankful praise. Let the doors of our lives, the doors of these places set apart in your name, stand open to all the possibilities to proclaim and live a kingdom come and your will being done, to reflect the love and grace of Christ as we follow the movement of the Holy Spirit in making connections and offering opportunities in faith, love, and service. You are goodness, beauty, and truth. May your love always rule. Amen. Let us sing in praise, but also as a prayer of sorts, as we open our hearts to God, as we sing with our hearts. We're already ready to go over there. Sing with me. they opened the door to God in their praise and the prayers they took to that part of the world, and that you'll hear that testimony and witness that they have to share at 10 o'clock. I see them setting up back there. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you peace. Amen.